All right, Wednesday evening, 7:12:23. We're going to look today at the purpose of spiritual warfare. I'm just going to read you some thoughts that I wrote down this morning. It seems that naturally speaking, most understand warfare, the military, how they operate and all of that. In the spirit realm, however, it does not seem to be so. Most Christians know very little to nothing about spiritual warfare. The spiritual battlefield is the least attended to, but the most important of all. What is done in the spirit will manifest in the natural. We clearly see this in Genesis 1 in creation. The spirit words that God spoke, for he is a spirit, brought this natural world into existence. Hebrews 11. I want y'all to get a perspective tonight of spiritual warfare. I know it's grievous. I know it's hard at times. But I think if we have a clear understanding of what's going on, maybe it will help us to see it in a different light. Hebrews 11. First three verses there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the worlds were framed by the word of God. God made the world by faith. And how do we walk? By faith, right? Not by sight. Don't think for a minute the enemy doesn't know this. Okay. Those of the Antichrist push, the Big Bang Theory, they have totally discounted God and his word on this matter. These are the myths and legends we looked at last week. I think it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. About myths and legends. All right. This is 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, the Amplified, I read last time, or whenever I've taught this. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but have ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. And will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. That King James says fables. They're waiting on the next super-duper decoder to bring them all the latest about what's going on. All right. The Big Bang Theory is just such a fable. They discount the total. Genesis chapter 1. How God created, and they think, you know, just some big, I don't know what they think. I don't know what exploded to make the Big Bang that started everything in motion and everything just started happening. I'm thinking, to me, it's harder to believe that than to believe an account that's so orderly and so precise. I mean, you have to be an idiot to really to misunderstand that. All right. In Genesis 3, Satan has been pushing his fables on the population. He made Eve believe, you know, God had held out on her. And the same thing that the devil did to Eve, he's doing today to people, saying, well, you know, this is just a Christ consciousness. You don't need God. You're a God. You're a God within yourself. That's their big narrative push. Oh, we've been duped about everything. Sounds like the devil to me. All right, Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is spiritual warfare. We are enforcing See, Satan came in and he did what he did, and he's infiltrated pretty well every mountain of influence. So what do we have to do as Christians? We have to enforce the kingdom of God. That's what God's troops do. That's what his soldiers do. I believe every Christian's supposed to, but I guess, you know, I liken God's enforcers like Navy SEALs or Texas Rangers or Green Berets, that they take it seriously. They're going to enforce the kingdom of God. What was rightfully ours before the fall, it was the kingdom of God. God said it was ours. He said we were to occupy it. What happened? I don't know how long it was before Genesis 3 happened, but I know this, they didn't enforce it. They gave up all their ground to the devil and lost their hold, lost their, really their right by sabotage. Well, that's why Jesus had to come, to give it back to us so we can enforce the kingdom of God in the earth. People are waiting for God to show up and do all these things. He's waiting for us to stand up as the sons of God and manifest as the sons of God. It says creation is waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. They know. When they finally stand up, when this last day remnant finally stands up and starts enforcing it, that's when you're going to see the kingdom of God come. All right. Jesus is informing the troops or his armed forces of the kingdom of God here what they'll have to do violently. Violently. That's what it is. The illusion is strong, but nonetheless, it is still an illusion. What happened in the garden is the truth. Just because he come and stunk up the place and clouded it up and we can't see it, does not mean it's not still the same beautiful place that God created. God said in Genesis 1, it's real. In other words, what he said was real. Jesus said we would have to force our way in and take it back. That's one of my biggest problems with the rapture theory. When some people start spouting that stuff, I want to say, until you have occupied, you have no right to even go there or even say anything about a bailout. All right. We are God's army in the earth. Understanding this will help you to prevail. What the spiritual warrior feels or experiences is simply from your resistance of the current occupying force. Now, see, in the natural, you understand that. But in the spiritual, it's like, what's going on, you know? Like, what's happening? I don't understand. Pray this off of me, or whatever. All right. What the spiritual warrior feels or experiences is simply from your resistance of the current occupying force, the beast. It really ruffles my feathers when I hear people say that when the Antichrist comes, I'm thinking, it doesn't get any worse than this. When it's being piped 24/7 out of every avenue that you can think of, I think it doesn't get any worse than that. They were on the verge of herding us into FEMA camps and killing us. If Hillary had got in, we would be dead. That's the seriousness of this. All right. The Antichrist came in the garden. All right. When you read the book of Revelation, you see the history of this fight between good and evil. It's not just a supposed 7 years, but it's been going on since the fall of man. this battle. Revelation plays it out. It writes it out for all that will read it and see it for what it really is. We're going to look at a little bit of that. Revelation chapter 12. I believe Revelation is the history of the world that was hidden from our eyes because of Satan's agenda. And whenever the seals were open, people began to finally see what was really going on and what's been going on since the fall of man. No new tactics. All right. This is Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two eagles of a great, or wings of a great evil, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times, half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth, or his out of his mouth, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. I'm telling you what. The cesspool of information, this narrative, it is like a flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. You can guarantee it's lies, fake news. You can call it whatever you want. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we have been in a war since Genesis 3. Now, Jesus whipped the devil, Colossians 2:15 says. But see, if you don't know that and you're not convinced of that, then you will continue to be a victim of his narrative. All right? As a spiritual warrior, how we feel or what you are experiencing has nothing to do with our warfare stance. It's a tactic. Satan only has a season to tempt you or try to deter you from your mission. It is not mission impossible, but mission possible. Success or failure is up to you. It depends on your stand. The fact that you can be going through a manifold temptation, Peter encourages to not think it's strange. But most people, oh, Pastor, you got to pray for me. More than likely, they're just in warfare. But because they don't know that, they don't know the tactics, they think, well, just pray this off of me. There's nothing to pray off. It is a stand. Okay, we're going to look at the stand here. Well, let me look at 1 Peter. I like it, 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter 4, right quick. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Everything was so great, and all of a sudden, bam! But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, when we find out what we are really, what this is really all about, instead of thinking, well, I must have done something wrong, and I must have done this, and I must have done that. You know, the Christian list here that we go through whenever things aren't going the way we think they ought to. But then we forget all those hours we've been praying in the Spirit, and all that time we've been spending in the Word, and all this good teaching you've been hearing. And then something strange happens. You go, my God, what's happening? I don't understand. To me, duh. That's what I say, duh. I should have titled this, duh. Oh, you need to pray for me. You just got to pray. No, you need to stand. Satan cannot tempt you forever. The idiot has a window of opportunity. When you begin to try to take your land and you start going in, he presents himself. He don't want you taking the land. But if he can't back you off your stance, he can't stop you. It may not feel good. I remember one time the Lord said to Denny, it's a stand that outlasts the devil. That's the stand of faith. Who's going to fold? You? Or is it going to be the devil? All right. I say this, but I know you and I know myself. We get fired upon and we're saying, what in the world's happening here? Well, now you know. You are advancing forward. You've taken your ground and Satan is trying to stop you. See, he's been on the land since Genesis 3 for the most part. There's been a few places in the scripture where the devil was kicked out. But he came back. No. Okay, Luke 4. Let's look at Jesus. He's fixing to step up. He is fixing to do what he was called, born and called from his mother's womb to do. From the foundation of the world, he was called to do this. And so here he's fixing to start his ministry. And he's in his training still. And look what happens. Chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now he's in a pretty weakened state after this, I would say. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, to do whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So Jesus stood. He withstood the test even in a weakened state. Thank God he did. If Satan can't stop you, then you gain ground. This is all about gaining ground. Oh Lord, I want to live for you. I want to do everything you've called me to do. And all these things that we say. And then when we start encountering warfare, we start doing the backstroke. Wondering, I guess I didn't talk too nice to that person, or maybe I did something wrong the other day. It's been my experience, when I know that I've done something, I know it immediately. You don't go through the checklist, okay, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? I think you need to quit looking at that checklist and you need to say, what have I done right? I've stood. That's what I've done right. The Lord doesn't bring correction like a father with a big belt. Okay, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7. Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? God has hired us. There's a reward coming at the end of this. We're not just here to suffer and take the abuse. He's talking about here, the workman is worthy of his hire. There are benefits. Just like in the military, they get special benefits that thus regular people don't get because they serve in the military. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. Y'all ought to know this one by heart. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's our warfare right there. Not giving in to his subtleties, whatever it may be, how we feel, what we're experiencing. All right, 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. He talks about two that did. See, Timothy was prophesied, things about his ministry. And Paul knows the warfare's coming as a result of it. It just kind of goes with the territory. All right, 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. See, that's what the enemy will bring to you. That's what he brings to mind, across your mind. He wants to get you in the flesh, get you out of the spirit, get you off of your stance. This is a war against the soul. I'm so thankful that God is restoring the apostles and prophets to the church, and I'll tell you why. They will teach all the way of warfare, so when that the devil is released from the pit, it will be squelched quickly. Go to Revelation chapter 20. I never viewed it this way until today when the Lord gave me that. I thought, that's good, Lord, that's good. Because like I said, people view the book of Revelation as God's coming and he's doing this great big thing. All the stuff is all God doing this, God doing that, God doing this, God doing that. No, it's his church doing it. All right, Revelation 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Who called fire down from heaven? Elijah. On the prophets of Baal. Do you see it? You see the kingdom of God here in operation? People know how to walk by the Spirit and live like God's told them that they can. Right. The book of disclosure is doing just that. This book shows us the history of the world and that it is a spiritual war between good and evil. You even hear natural people doing programming. You hear that all the time. This is a battle between good and evil. This is biblical. I don't know that they know what they're talking about, but it is. And what they're saying, it is true. All right? God's people are taking back what was stolen from them 6,000 years ago. We're going to learn how to do it. That's what we're being trained for. God's real church is rising up, and His real people are going to learn how to walk in the kingdom of God. All right. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So God said, you know, in heaven, He keeps order. Ain't no shenanigans going on up there. He kicked him out. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Who's they? Is it the angels? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We have an active part in this event. All right. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. All right, 13. 13, just a couple of scriptures here. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I've heard that my whole Christian life, how big, bad, and ugly the beast is, and how horrible it's going to be in the 7 years. Thinking, what about now? Haven't you? All right, verse 7 here. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Kind of looks that way, doesn't it? He's pretty well infiltrated everything. That's what the resistance is being called up for. That's what is going on right now with the military. We've got their backs, whether they know it or not. One of these days we're going to hear the praise that we'll hear from our Lord and Savior because we stood our ground. We weren't recognized as digital soldiers or, you know, military, but we were the spiritual soldiers, the remnant. All right, chapter 17, verse 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, the other's not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even is, he is the eighth, and is the seventh that goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for his Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Who are with him? Who are those that were with him? You think it might be us? And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. This is that war. This is the war that we are currently in that's going on behind the scenes. It's what all this military movement and buildup is about. All right, 19, 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white white and clean. Where are we seated? Heaven, places, right? And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. When we speak the word of God out of our mouth, it's as if Jesus is speaking. When we follow the Spirit and we speak, and that sword comes out of our mouth. With it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm sure, you know, from heaven's perspective, it looks one way. From the earthly perspective, I think it's going to look just like this description. I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great King. I don't think we've been told how many people have died through these last 7 or 8 years, through the COVID, through going into the underground dumps, how many thousands and thousands of children that they have found dead. That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And see, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who be that? It be us. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and a remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is this great last day battle. Now I know everybody's waiting for some Star Wars event. This is a spiritual battle going on here, even though there's natural men. They're being slain. These wicked men, that's what they're doing. They're hunting them down right now. Taking them out right now. When you're feeling and experiencing, what you're feeling and experiencing is temporary. Hold the line and don't back down, because whether it is apparent or not, you are winning. You wouldn't be fired upon if you were not being effective. Just remember that. I'm going to pick up where I stopped. Satan has a bag of tricks, a bag of deterrents to try and stop you. Deterrents. This is a deterrent to discourage, prevent, or inhibit. You sit and make your decrees. The angels start heading towards that location to do what you have commissioned, speaking by the Spirit. And guess who shows up? Oh, no, you're not taking my ground. I stole it legally. To discourage, prevent, or inhibit. It's just feelings. Warfare is in your mind. That's where the battle goes on. You may feel it in your flesh in some way, but it is a battle in your mind. That's where you win it or lose it. Your mind is your will and your emotions. When you feel pain, you want to back off and don't think that your enemy doesn't know it. He knows just where to hit you. That's what tries to target you for most effect. All right? That's why we have to target. We have to be sure that we are hearing the Lord and we're speaking what he wants us to speak, because we want to be effective, take out the enemy. All right? This is not the time to back off, but to keep your stance, put your hand to the plow, and move forward. Jesus said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. All right. Joyce Meyer said it best. She said, you are experiencing a new level devil. When you start taking new ground, a new level devil. So true. You must fight your way through it. Sometimes it's like the rocky soil we live on, hard plowing. I watch them guys out there with that pickaxe digging up that. The book of Disclosures tells us the outcome. Revelation 12:11, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. To overcome means to subdue. Subdue means to conquer, bring to subjection, like your foot on his neck. Just picture that. How do you think the angel was able to lasso him? Think the angel just did it by random? No. It's by what we're speaking. Spiritual soldiers decreeing. That means to vanquish. To me, vanquish means you don't. He's going in the pit. There ain't going to be no more. Not till the 1,000 years anyway. All right. Ephesians 6. Starting at 11. It says to put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. That's his tricks. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, or wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, you can't back down. You have to stand. When you've done all to stand, stand, it says. All right, here in the Strong's stand means, well, it didn't have a word in the Strong's, but in the Vines it says to cause to stand or staunched. Staunch. Staunch means to stop up the flow of something. In other words, you stop it right where it is. You stand until it's stopped. Okay. I want to encourage you today to see what you're experiencing for what it really is. So you won't be moved. You won't be moved off of your stance and your position. It's only for a season, for you are breaking new ground. You've already been assured victory. I'm going to read a few scriptures and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 7, that's not it, 1 Corinthians 15, 7. Let me look at 17. Here we go. Well, I had to have at least one. Do you know what that is, Danny?
I don't know what are you talking about?
Well, it's about having victory. Maybe it's second.
1557.
1557, okay. Yeah, that's it. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? All right, Revelation 15, 2 will be the last one. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Well, when you hear it says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What do you do after a victory? You sing. That's what's going to happen. All right.